Kelly's Westport Inn presents The Royalman Report with Casey Royalman. Michael Engel.
I'm the co-host of that show. Kind of.
Jeff Herr.
Back to baseball here.
Chris Kamler.
So, Ned, tell me what you'd like to do right now. Take off my pants.
Music by 49 Stones and Andre and the Giants. And now, the Royalman Report.
And welcome into the Royalman Report. This is Casey Royalman, a.k.a. Troy Olson by phone. And this week, you're getting a little bit of a pre-recorded show from us because, frankly, we're watching the Super Bowl right now. And as we get ready to do that, I'm joined, of course, in studio by the guy running all the buttons. That's Chris Kamler. Say hi, Chris.
Hello, hello.
So we actually put together a decent little show for you, at least I think so, but I'm kind of biased, so there you go. Chris actually did what Chris does, and he puts out on Twitter this week, and he goes, hey, so anybody know anybody famous to do with the Royals that could get us an interview? And Rainey Jaziri messages Chris back. It says, I'm kind of famous. And Chris goes, yes, you are. And so Chris did a little interview with Rainey, and that's the first thing you're going to hear today. Chris, any thoughts on that interview?
Well, honestly, why be prepared and with it when you can just slap something together at the last minute and get somebody of the caliber and quality of Rainey Jaziri? So we had a good 5-10 minute talk about being a Royals fan, and hope you enjoy it.
And Rainey's definitely the most famous of the bloggers, getting his own radio show now called Rainey on the Royals on 810. And so congratulations to him on that. Thank him so much for coming on the show. And then I'm including a piece that I found on the internet. It's called Terrible at D. It's supposed to be from the point of view of a fake Doug Melvin. It's wrote by Justin Spanbauer, and you can find him on Twitter at Spansy. It's at Spanptasy, and we'll put his link to the video itself in the description. But I like this video. Chris thinks it's worse than the We Are Mizzou guys, and I think it's funny, so I've included it in the show. Let us know what you think. Give us a shout-out at royalmanreport@gmail.com if you like this kind of cheesy-type stuff, and if you don't, we won't include it in the future, and if you do, then you make me right, and that's even better yet. So on top of that, we'll have a holding court from Michael Engel, and then it becomes kind of the Michael Engel show for a little while, as Mike had a kind of busy week for the Royalman Report this week. Last week he was on the Hot Stove Show. I've included that. And because of being on the Hot Stove Show, he was actually able to get Jeff Montgomery for the last Sunday in February. So look forward to that, as we'll have Jeff Montgomery, I believe, in studio to be part of the Royalman Report. And it's always good to have a famous Royal like Monty come on the show. So we're excited for that. And then on top of that, right after that, you'll hear from Mike and Dave Darby, as Dave Darby's down in fantasy camp, and he was able to get us Kevin Seitzer. I mean, Chris, how's that for a good week, getting Kevin Seitzer from fantasy camp to be part of your show?
Yeah, and if you didn't get a chance to read Dave Darby's Twitter feed all last week, him at fantasy camp, sounds like he had an outstanding time out there, and he went down there solely with the purposes of trying to get us some interviews and whatnot. So we really thank him for his hard work down there. Hope he had a great time. The pictures he and Lady Duke 16 were sending back were amazing, and I think that needs to be a Royalman Report goal, is for all of us to get out there to fantasy camp.
You know, I think that would be an absolutely amazing experience to get the four of us down there somehow at $3,000 a piece. And have some fun. I think that would be a great, great time. Additionally, Mike then interviewed Dave himself, and it's a pretty lengthy interview, but it looks to be a really good one. And they had a really good time down there, like you said, and everything that Dave did down there, we're so grateful for. Dave has actually been around with the Royalman Report since the first show. He's been one of our first fans, always in the chat room on Sunday nights from 7 to 8 p.m., and I've met him at ball games and stuff. Really nice guy, and we're super happy to have him as part of our show, and we're really grateful that he took the time to do these pieces for us, because we, like Chris was saying, you know, we can't get to fantasy camp right now, and definitely something that we want to do. It's on the bucket list, but until we can get there, it takes people like Dave really putting himself out there and helping us out the way he did. So really appreciate that. From there, we kind of got some odds and ends pieces, and Chris did some work, as always, with a couple of new Kelly's commercials and a new commercial for the Echo Network. And if you know anybody that's looking for a place to get some more hits for their podcast, let us know. We're definitely looking for more shows for the Echo Network, and we're going to have a website up here in the next couple of months. It's all but done. Just got to figure out when our launch date is and everything, so keep watching for information on that. And Chris, anything you want to add?
Now, a special shout out to Martin Steele, who is also a big friend of the Royal Man Report. This this Kelly's commercial that we recorded is just for you, so enjoy that one. Also do have an Echo Network, like you mentioned, spot, and Fake Ned Minute we're going to throw in as well. So it's a lot of content. I hope you enjoy it as we continue to bask in the glow of Missouri beating Kansas last night and what we assume can only be the Giants beating the Patriots this evening.
We sure hope so, at least on the Giants and the Patriots, because cheaters never win, right? So we can't allow the Belichick's of the world to get away with one.
Well, they haven't won yet.
Somewhere Clint Scholes is scowling at us right now. He's not too happy with our last comment. He's a big Patriots fan, if you don't know. And we're not going to jump in between the bits. The bits kind of stand on their own. So you'll just hear one after another with an occasional break for a Fake Ned Minute, a holding cord, a Kelly's commercial in there like always. And, definitely give us your opinions on everything. We'll be back next week. Next week the guys are actually doing an interview for me while I'm away at Roller Derby. I open the season with Dead Girl Derby up at Riverside. And we are sold out. I can't even get a ticket for my girlfriend at this point. Let me tell you, I'm in the doghouse. We're going to be up at River Roll next Sunday to do the opening of a sold-out Dead Girl Derby season, and we hope that the games can continue that way. If you need more information on that, hit me up on Twitter at Casey Royal Man or at Colin Mayhem, and I'll get you more information on upcoming games, because it's a great thing to see, and it is a really fun sport to watch, and it truly is a good sport. So, so they're going to interview from CBS Greg Doyle, and Greg's an interesting guy. He's got a hate mail column, and he says some of the most crazy things on Twitter, so I thought he'd fit well with this group. So if you haven't checked out Greg Doyle, just Google Greg Doyle, CBS, GREGDOYLE, CBS, and you'll find his page, and you can read about how he actually went to a UFC friend of his and had himself choked out, and he has a hate column every week on all the hate mail he gets, and he posted it up with responses, and I wish I was half as witty as this guy. So that's what you had to look forward to next week. And then, like I said, we have a very special surprise that I'm not going to announce until the day of the show on the show following that. And along with that show, we'll also have Garth the Batting Stance Guy. And then the last Sunday of the month, we'll have Jeff Montgomery. So a lot coming up on the Royal Man Report. And then March, we've got even more surprises for you, but we're still hammering out exactly when those shows are going to be, because Chris thinks he needs to be an umpire during March. So we're gonna be moving this show around. So stay tuned to the Royal Man Report Twitter and Facebook page, as we'll let you know when those shows are going to be on. But all of them should be posted on Sunday in March. And I believe we'll have one more of these kind of off-the-air shows, because we're going to have 1 week when we can't all get together. So look forward to that as well. Let us know if there's anything you want to hear from or hear about on the Royal Man Report. Give us a shout-out at royalmanreport@gmail.com or on Twitter at royalmanreport. But other than that, I think we're going to get down to business here and give you a show.
All right, so here we okay, let me do a professional intro since I'm a professional guy. We're here on the Royal Man Report podcast with the most famous person I could find on short notice. That person happened to be an actual, legitimate, famous person, at least if you're a baseball fan. We are joined today by baseball prospectus writer, blogger, Rainey Gizzarelli, who has the famous Royals blog, Rainey on the Royals.com, and clearly is the author of his own Wikipedia page. Rainey, we do not want to take up too much of your time, so we'll get right to it, since you have to be, you go busy being famous. Is that okay?
That's fine. I appreciate you inviting me on, and I appreciate the fact that David Cook was too busy to answer emails, and Rob Riggle was on location, and Jason Sudeikis was too busy dating some hot chick to come on the show.
I think that puts you at number four on the list, man, so
that's not bad.
We're happy. Mr. Rainey, 2012, the year that the Royals fans, is this the year that we finally break through and get some payoff for this purgatory that we've all been feeling?
You know, I might be in the minority, but I actually think so. At least if you consider an above 500 record and at least being in the fringes of contention, you know, a change from what we've seen in the last 15 years. I mean, as you probably know from following me on Twitter, I'm a little disappointed the Royals were more aggressive in adding another starting pitcher, because I really feel like they are one quality starter away from being legitimate contenders in the AL Central. But I think either way, I think this is going to be a really fun season. You know, last 2 months of 2011 were probably the most fun I've had as a Royals fan since at least 2003. And there's no reason to think that with a full season of this lineup, where, you know, everybody in that lineup is going to be 28 and younger, you've got an entire infield. I think Alcides Escobar is the oldest guy in the infield, and he's 25. The upside here is just enormous. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think this team is going to improve rapidly. And maybe, you know, by the end of the season, they'll be above 500 and within a few games of first place.
Now, you are an unabashed Royals fan. You are proudly a blue-wearing a member of Royals Nation, living outside of Kansas City. I was curious how passionate your fandom is, and do you wear gear out when you are out and about, and you know, how much of a Royals fan are you away from Kansas City?
Well, you know, I tell people, you know, my being a Royals fan, it's certainly not a put on. In fact, I would say that my career as a sports writer evolved from being a Royals fan, not the other way around. I mean, I tell people that if Herc Robinson had simply had the common sense to protect Jeff Conine in the 1993 expansion draft over David Howard, I might never have become a writer in the first place. That's really what provoked me to start writing, was just my frustration with what some of the things the Royals were doing 20 years ago and other baseball teams, and I just felt compelled to write about it, and I'm still doing it today. But yeah, I mean, being a Royals fan, I think I'm a Royals fan before I'm a baseball fan. I mean, it really defines who I am. I do live, you know, in the Chicago area now. I grew up in Wichita, never actually lived in Kansas City. Grew up in Wichita, that's how I became a fan. And then sort of traveled the country for educational reasons, college in Baltimore and then medical school in Michigan, and finally settled here. But, you know, wherever I am, you know, I have my Royals cap that really needs to be replaced now. It's almost in tatters because I wear it so much. It feels kind of nice to wear the cap of a team that is so uncool nationally that anybody who sees me wearing it has to know I'm not wearing this because I'm some sort of bandwagon jumper. There are no bandwagon Royals fans right now. I think it sort of labels me as a much more authentic fan, that I'm willing to wear this sort of this totem of patheticness. You know, though the Royals cap in non-Royals territory, no one will ever question my allegiance to the team that way.
We've got a couple more minutes with Rainey Jazzarelli here on the Royal Man Report podcast, so we'll ask a couple of quickie questions. How on earth do you write such verbose articles?
Because it's a lot faster than writing short ones.
Whose articles are longer, yours or Joe Posnanski's?
Paz's are probably longer, but I think he's justified because he actually writes about, like, you know, big national stories, where I'm spending, you know, 5,000 words debating whether or not, you know, Salvador Perez or Johnny Giovatella has a bigger future for the Royals. And I think I wrote 5,000 words split into two parts on Tim Melville. So when it comes to words per, you know, words divided by the import of the topic, I think no one's got me beat. But
we have really
interesting
hobbies.
Yeah. Well, once I get started writing, I mean, I just feel like I want to cover everything, and it's much faster to just bang out a bunch of, you know, whatever it is that's on my mind, rather than sort of sit there and say, okay, is this important? Should I take this out? You know, this is why God created editors. I don't have an editor. I just have myself, and it's easier for me to just get everything that I want to say down on paper or my computer. And if people don't want to read the whole thing, they don't have to. So.
Another question we've got here: what does Kevin Goldstein smell like? We're guessing it's like a very expensive cigar, or maybe a high school swimming pool before it's been cleaned.
I'm sorry, who?
Kevin Goldstein from
Kevin Goldstein.
Yes.
Gosh, what did he smell like? It's hard. It's hard to say because I'm just so overwhelmed by the fedora that he wears.
Isn't it magnificent?
Dominates the landscape. We actually, it's funny because you know he lives, as you know, in Podunk, Illinois, in a little city, DeKalb, the home of the Northern Illinois University, and that's about it. It's like 60, 70 miles west of Chicago, but I actually have an office about 10 minutes away from him. So we'll get together for lunch. It's not like we're going out to like some five-star restaurant. It's going to be like a Noodles and Company or like some breakfast diner. But we'll just get together and just talk baseball and politics and, you know, other things. It's not really a pure baseball discussion. He's a great guy, and he's just a very, you know, sort of interesting background. He never went to college. He was, you know, basically living on his own since he was 16. I think he started like a computer hacker and then got hired by the computer company whose mainframe he had hacked into or something. So he has some crazy stories. So compared to him, I'm even more boring than I look, I guess.
Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Oh, is that other sport they're playing this
year? Another sport. I know you don't follow it real close.
Well, my relationship with the Chiefs is much more complicated than the one with the Royals. At least the Royals, at least they lose purely. The Chiefs, they get your hopes up first and then crush them. I think I'm going with the Patriots. I don't want to overrate the emotional and mental aspects of sports, but I do think that, you know, with Belichick and Tom Brady still tasting defeat in 2008, I think that they're not going to overlook the Giants one bit this year, and I think they're the best team.
Okay, final question. What is it like to have your own Wikipedia page?
Kind of creepy, to be perfectly honest. I've had one for probably 5 or 6 years, and the first time I stumbled on it was very – it was almost unnerving. Who actually spent the time to sort of catalog my life and write it down on Wikipedia? To this day, I don't know who wrote it.
Really?
No, I thought it was a friend, and I checked in, you know, a friend of mine who was active on Wikipedia. He's like, nope, that wasn't me. He's like, I thought I edited a few things, but I didn't create it. So somebody out there thought I was important enough to do that. I don't know whether to be grateful or whether to be looking over my shoulder all the time.
Rainey, I can't possibly thank you enough for being the most famous person that I could reach on short notice today.
I'm sorry that I'm the most famous person you can reach on short notice.
Yes, my efforts will continue to reach, you know, David Cook or someone of that ilk. But you did very well, and we here at the Royal Maine Report also support your efforts to add bloggers to the media room at Kauffman Stadium. So whatever you can do, it probably wouldn't be us if you got in there and other folks did. But we do support your efforts to make bloggers up in that room and to continue to cover the Royals so effectively. So thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate it. The Royals have actually, you know, the Royals and I had a little spat a few years back, but we've actually we've made up nice, and the Royals are actually very good about credentialing me and, you know, treating me like a legitimate member of the media. And I think the Royals are actually now probably ahead of the curve when it comes to recognizing the contributions bloggers make. You know how they've had the blogger at the K-Day. I think they'll be doing that again this year. So the Royals in this regard are actually pretty, pretty open, pretty welcoming organization. And I just hope that is a good sign for what is to come in the future with this team.
Rainey, thanks again, man. And keep in touch. And you know, hey, if you get to be any more famous, we may ring you again. So.
Well, I don't know if I can handle any more fame.
Rainey, thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
Take care.
I'm Sam Ellinger. You're listening to the Royal Maine Report.
There's a grounder pounded in the dirt. Who's gonna field it and throw him out at first? Nobody ever is gonna fear the beer. Go ahead and leg it out. We're never getting there. How in the hell did I get stuck with you? Don't underestimate what Grinky makes you do. There's a grounder pounded in the dirt. Who's gonna field it and throw him out at first? The scars of your glove remind me of us. They leave me depressed because we almost won it all. The scars of your glove, your game is worthless. I can't help feeling you should have had that ball. You're terrible on D. It went right past your reach. Contract for your stay. Think of me in the depths of your despair. Say hey to Nettie Yost, I'm sure he'll love you there. The scars of your glove remind me of us. They leave me depressed because we almost won it all. The scars of your glove, your game is worthless. I can't help feeling we could have won it. Past your reach, and you played it too deep. We could have won it all. You're terrible on D. It went right past your reach, and it rolled under your feet. I'm glad that you're leaving through the open door. I'm counting my blessing that you don't play here no more. Turn my sorrow into ecstasy. I'm starting to wonder how you earn a salary. Could have won it all. You're terrible on D. It went right past your reach, and you played it too deep. We could have won it all. You're terrible on D. It went right past your reach.
This is Holding Court with Kings of Kaufman. Every week we feature a different writer from kingsofkaufman.com by discussing a recent article. This week that writer is Paul Thompson, and we're going to talk about his article that centers on Prince Fielder. So, Paul, first of all, tell me your thoughts on Prince Fielder, the player, before we get into anything about his recent signing.
Fielder's kind of an interesting study. You know, I've always been a big fan of him, dating back to his father, Cecil, and that's kind of what the article is about. Cecil Fielder was just one of my favorite players growing up. I like the body type. He just, you know, he had prodigious power. He was seemed like a likable guy. There's just a great video of him online stealing his first base about 10 years into his career. There's so much to like about Cecil, and, you know, the story spawned about Prince growing up as well, hitting home runs at Tiger Stadium and batting practice and everything like that. It was just a really cool story growing up, and from there I just followed him in the draft. I always hoped the Royals would go draft him, and, you know, they ended up getting a guy named Zach Greinke, so that worked out. But,
yeah.
Followed his career, and you know, I've always been a big fan.
And now the big news, of course, is he just signed this huge contract, 9 years and over $200 million with the Tigers. A lot of people now are commenting that it makes the Tigers the no-brain choice in the Central, that they're going to be a force. And I think a lot of people are referencing that 1,000-run plateau that came up about 3 or 4 years ago. What are your thoughts on the Tigers now after signing Fielder?
Well, when you look at having Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder in your 3-4, that's going to be something that's beneficial towards them. But you got to look at losing a guy like Victor Martinez, who had played a lot. They're relying a lot on Alex Avila, who was had a great year last year, but plateaued a little bit after the All-Star break. So I think it's easy to get caught up in seeing two prodigious power hitters like Cabrera and Fielder together. But at the same time, you got to understand it's going to be a downgrade defensively when you put Cabrera back at third base right now, and Fielder has never been one of the better defenders at first base. So you got to put it all together. Obviously, the defensive liability is not going to affect them overall when you consider 150 RBIs and 50 home runs from Fielder. So it's going to be a potent attack there.
A little bit scary, and you make the note that you're terrified of the Detroit Tigers right now, which is understandable. Like you said, that's a big 3-4 combo. That's maybe as big as anyone in the game right now. Man, when you've got power from both sides of the plate, that's going to be difficult for the Central and difficult for the American League. In the short term, I don't know that it helps the Tigers a huge deal because they were already the favorites. Where it could come into play is down the line as the Royals start to become contenders and their young players step up and hopefully take this offense where we think it will, and the pitchers come up and take the pitching staff where we think it should go. But Prince Fielder is going to be around for 9 years. So what are your thoughts on the Royals going forward in light of this 9-year contract?
It's interesting because, typically you think about the Royals and their window for championships is in this next 6 years, which, ostensibly Prince will still be in his prime. To go back to Seth a little bit, you look at his career, he really tapered off after the age of 32. Prince is 27 right now, so maybe this 9-year contract is going to be something that can be a blessing and a curse for them. Saying that, you only have Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas for another 6-year window, so you're kind of playing with fire there. Saying that, I fully anticipate spending several nights this summer sweating and waking up in a cold sweat at the thought of Prince Fielder hitting game-winning home runs off Blake Wood.
You made an interesting point in the article that Prince Fielder came up with the Brewers at a time where Ryan Braun was maybe a year away. Ricky Weeks was coming along as one of their top prospects. They had Corey Hart, and they had other guys. And the manager at that time, who eventually led them into the playoff race, was Ned Yost.
Yeah, and when Ned came on as the interim manager for Trey Hillman, Ned came in there, and that was kind of the narrative that was thrown out there, is, hey, he's been with a team of young guys before, brought them from obscurity to a playoff berth. And at the time, it seemed a little far-fetched to think about it because there weren't MLB-ready players in the Royals system ready to go. But now you're looking at what happened last year, and it seems like every couple of weeks there's another top-flight prospect coming along. It really is kind of similar to that summer, and one of the things I talked about in the piece was actually being at a game in Milwaukee and seeing Ricky Weeks and Prince Fielder both hit their first major league home run. And just the scene in the stadium that day, the crowd, how everybody got amped up, just the buzz in the stadium, really reminded me of watching the Royals in August and September of last year and just how excited the fans were to have something to cheer for again.
Hopefully, Prince Fielder doesn't perform so well that Paul Thompson has to consider him his least favorite player. Paul, thanks for joining us. This has been Holding Court with Kingsley Kaufman. You can get up-to-date commentary and analysis about the Kansas City Royals at Kingsley Kaufman every day, part of the fan-sided network of sports blogs, and we're also the home to the Royal Men Report.
Hey, Troy, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
Oh, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows and you drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Libidotosis.
Yep.
All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? Nah, they've got all the basketball and bowl game. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
This is Kent Babb, and you're listening to the Royal Man Report.
Back on the Sports Radio 810 Hot Stove Show, Joel Goldberg and Jeff Montgomery. Good to catch up with our buddy Jamie Cork. Didn't ask him a whole lot about Twitter. I don't see him as being a Twitter guy. Monty's kind of crossing over to the dark side. You got one foot in, right? I mean, you've got a toe in. You got a toe in. You'll be a convert. I'm not worried about you. But it's really interesting to see. I love it almost as a job tool, because I could sit there and follow my favorite writers and beat writers and guys that I can get links to every single, instead of having to search this site and that site and say, oh, here's an article I want to read, here's an article I want to read. And then there's so many of the hot stove rumors that are out there too. And it can be challenging for people to figure out what's real and what's not. I mean, if Bob Dutton tweets something, it's happening. He's got great sources. But in this day and age where there are millions of bloggers out there all over the country, and everybody's got a Twitter handle, you could throw anything out there. And that really seemed to ramp up this week with some crazy rumors going on. And our next guest was, I don't want to say inadvertently, he was intentionally in the middle of some of that, joined right now by Michael Engel, senior editor of Kings of Kauffman website, also has the Royal Man Report radio show with a bunch of his good buddies. I don't know if they're good buddies or not, but happy to have Mike Engel on the show. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joel. How are you?
We are doing well, and I was just fascinated, and you know this, by what developed earlier in the week. And you wrote about it on Kings of Kauffman in a really good blog post or article called Check Your Sources. But a fascinating experiment, and I want you to kind of tell how this whole thing developed. But basically, a tweet went out a couple of nights ago, two or three nights ago, that said, Rangers have agreed in principle to a deal that would send Billy Butler to Texas. Now, as soon as I read that, I thought, what? And a second later, I looked and it was pretty easy to figure out, nah, that's not real. That's not always the case for everyone else. And you see insider information or alleged insider information, and you think, whoa, Billy Butler was just traded? All right, tell us what happened.
Well, you know, like you said at the beginning of the segment, Twitter's great for finding information. And when you've got guys like Bob Dutton out there who, you know, sit on their information, they have their sources, they verify it, they confirm it, it's great. I mean, it's fantastic. You don't have to bookmark every site and hit refresh. But it's very easy to throw out just any old thing that you can come up with. And, you know, one of these guys on Twitter was talking about, you know, they had Prince Fielder on a plane to Washington, D.C. That's how wrong they were. So, you know, I thought, you know, how are they getting this information? Are they just coming up with it? Are they piecing headlines together and just extrapolating? Are they just making it up? Or are they just going off what anybody tells them? So I send this guy a message that I have a tip. And I give him kind of this vague information about a Billy Butler trade to Texas. And within the course of about 5 minutes and three messages, you know, he's got it out there. He's already saying that he's got a source, that there's an agreement, that this is happening. And he pretty much proved my point that, you know, a lot of these guys are taking anything that they get at face value, throwing it out there, and it's just really irresponsible and it's reckless.
And basically, you were private. For those that aren't on Twitter, if someone's following you, you're following them, you could private message, direct message, and you were direct messaging him, feeding him this stuff, basically what, telling him, hey, I'm at KU, I've got this source that broke or knew that Billy Butler was signing his extension last year, he's in the know, here's what's happening, but I'm looking for a front office job next year, so I don't want to be the one to break it, and you essentially became the one and only source.
Right, and that's the best way to put it. I was the one and the only source that he had, and he went out and reported it. You know, I'm just a blogger. I don't have press credentials. You know, I got a history degree. You know, I'm not a journalist. I like to write about my favorite team, but I understand that the guys like Bob Dutton and, you know, multiple other writers, Buster Olney and John Heyman and all those guys, you know, they go through a certain process where they vet that information. And in the case of this guy that I was feeding this rumor to, if he had real sources, one phone call would have told him that, you know, it was completely made up. I gave him a couple of chances in the article. It's recapped where I give him, you know, I say that there's a 72-hour window. you know, all he has to do is say, you know, let me check with some people, let me wait. And, you know, he didn't do it. And I think that's something that, that happens more frequently now, especially when there's so much information and it's difficult to, you know, sift through it and find what's good. And that was kind of the point of the experiment. And it was remarkably easy to make it, you know, to get this guy to report it with no real confirmation of any kind.
Well, Michael, you mentioned the Duttons and the Onlys and the Hamas, those type of credible baseball authorities, so to speak. They obviously have employers that they have to answer to at some point, and the bloggers really don't. Do you see any type of governance coming down the road with regards to Twitter that will maybe correct some of these?
You know, I really don't. It's so difficult to enforce a lot of things on the Internet. If you look at even recently, last week, everything was blacked out because of SOPA and all those different regulations. You know, Twitter, I don't think that there needs to be a criteria, but I think it fosters a culture where, you know, you want to absorb something, you know, as quick as you can. You know, you've got something comes out and 5 seconds later, it's all the way over, you know, everybody's got that information. So I think it's more of a personal discretion and kind of taking a second to understand what's going on. A good example, Jason Adam, one of the better prospects in the Royals organization, was coming up in some trade rumors for as if he was going to Tampa Bay. Well, someone asked him on Twitter. He hadn't heard anything. All he did, he went into Google, searched it, and found out that, okay, there was maybe one rumor, but it wasn't, you know, anything significant. And that's all people really need to do, is just take a second and, you know, evaluate what the source is. And then you can kind of go forward and determine if it's good information, if it's bad information, and then if you want to believe it or not.
So for those of us, including myself, who don't fully understand Twitter, it sounds like you particularly, or Joel, those who do multiple tweets, you know, in the minute, that's really the governance. It's, you're on your own to really rely on the credibility of your sources.
Pretty much, yeah. And like you said before, you know, a blogger doesn't really have to answer to anybody. If you're wrong with a speculation, all you have to do is hit delete. But if, you know, Bob Dutton put anything out there that he had heard just a whisper about, you know, and he's wrong, he's going to hear about it from, you know, his editors. He's going to hear about it from Dayton Moore, you know, and it could be repercussions down the line for him. You know, unfortunately, you know, bloggers don't have that. So it's kind of this, I don't know, it's just this chaotic anarchy of information sometimes. So you really have to rely on, you know, people who take it seriously, who want to get the information right, and are more interested in having good information than just being the first one out there with it.
Well, and I think when it comes to bloggers, I mean, to me, there's two types of bloggers. There's though, at least for me, there's those that are, and you don't have to break information, but for me personally, if you're giving me something that's thought-provoking or entertaining or just something that somebody else doesn't have, Rainey Jazzerli does a great job with what he's able to do with numbers, better than anybody else perhaps, and so that's unique to me, and I can go there for that. I can go to your website, and you guys do a great job of having a variety of opinions, but I think that they're informed, and so that to me is the dividing line, as opposed to some that'll just go out there and throw whatever is at the wall and see what sticks. And if it sticks, hey, I broke that story. And if it doesn't, well, whatever, no big deal, because there's no accountability. But I will take it a step further to say, Mike, that, you know, it's very easy to label it just being bloggers or fake insiders or whatever it is. But, you know, somebody created a fake John Heyman account yesterday and tweeted, I think it was Prince, go right before he signed with Detroit, Prince going to, was it Washington or somewhere? And some big-time names, and including a good friend of mine in the business, retweeted it immediately and had to go back and say, whoops, that was fake. And that was, I think, just a matter of this culture we're in of everything immediate, without just taking a couple of seconds to take a look.
Yeah, it's really easy to fall into it. And especially the bigger the name, I think the easier it is, because you get excited about it. You start thinking that you want to pass this on to people. You know, after this guy sent out that tweet about Billy Butler being traded to the Rangers, within 2 or 3 seconds, people were hitting reply and asking me if I'd heard anything, which I thought was kind of ironic, considering that I, you know, pretty much made it up and started that ball rolling. So, and, you know, I had to tell them, no, I haven't heard anything. because there wasn't anything to it, obviously.
Before we let you go, just give us a little background on the Kings of Kauffman side of me. I know you got the Royal Man Report hanging out with, you know, esteemed gentlemen like the Royal Man and fake Ned Yost. Good company that you're hanging out with there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we've also got Jeff Herr, who he actually has a blog on, a different...
I didn't have anything negative to say about Jeff, so I didn't put his name in there. But Jeff's a good guy. No, the other guys are good guys, too. They know that I'm just giving them a hard time. But how about the Kings of Kauffman side? How'd that start?
Yeah, Kings of Kauffman, it started about 2009. I joined the site in March of 2010. Actually, I'd been laid off from a management job and had free time, and it was spring training, so I thought I would just take the rest of the month off and absorb as much Royals information as I could, and came across Kings of Kauffman, and they were looking for a contributor. And, you know, within about a month and a half, I was the lead writer. And since then, we've added numerous writers. Right now, we're at a roster of 9, and we're adding 3 more next week. You know, it's a good mix of guys. There are guys, some guys have playing experience in college. One of them, Kevin Scobie, is a former pitching coach in college. So that gives him a nice insight. One's a published author. We've got a couple guys who are actual sports reporters who just love the Royals. So it's a nice mix of, you know, some fans, but also some guys who, you know, this is part of their job, and, you know, Kings of Kauffman becomes their hobby. So we try to put out good and interesting articles, you know, every day if we can, things pertaining to the Royals and past, present, and future.
Well, it's great stuff. Keep up the good work. And, you know, I absolutely enjoyed this little Twitter experiment this week. Hopefully some of those that are, you know, doing the irresponsible stuff will be exposed like you exposed that guy. And hopefully some people, and I'm talking media fans, whoever it is, start to kind of figure out that, you know, not everything that's out there is believable.
Yeah, the best quote that I think sums it up comes from Kevin Agee, and he's another blogger about the Royals. And after all this kind of blew up yesterday, he tweeted out, "The main discipline of journalism is that if your mom says she loves you, be sure to check it out."
Check everything, absolutely. All right, Mike, good stuff. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you.
All right, that is Mike Engel of the Kings of Kauffman website and the Royal Man Report, among others. And, you know, there's so many bloggers out there, Monty, as we head to a break here. You got a blogger in your own house.
I do. My son Spencer Montgomery and one of his friends, Blaze Capelli, both senior boys at Rockhurst High School, they have their blog site, kcyoungguns.com, and they write various pieces regarding high school, college, professional athletes, and athletics. So they've done a nice job with it. They got started probably a couple of months ago. Got a lot of sites and a lot of traffic.
16 or is he 17 now?
He's 17.
17, okay. I turned 17 sometime recently, I guess.
Yeah, he's looking forward to getting out of high school and moving on to college.
No rush there. Spence, good stuff on the website, kcyoungguns.com. Thanks to Mike Engel. And you can check him out at Twitter, at Michael Engel, E-N-G-E-L, at Michael Engel. And when we come back, we'll check out a guy that has the Twitter handle, at Geo2BKC. Johnny Giovitella joins us next.
Kelly's Westport, it's the place where you buy beer. This guy came into the bar the other day and was telling me that they had friends in town and went down to that fancy bar district downtown. They went to one of those swanky no-ball cap bars and ordered a beer. Now, this wasn't one of those imported beers, wasn't even one of those microbrew deals. This bartender rang up the tab and he wanted $27 for 3 dadgum beers. $27 for some beers. That isn't right. That isn't fair. So he took them down to see us. We got them some nice big beers for half that price. Even had one of the ladies find a fella there. Got him some pizza. Listen, don't fall victim to those overpriced, no ball cap bars down there. You might as well take your money and throw it in the trash. Kelly's Westport, it's the place where you buy beer. Kelly's Westport Inn, tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Hi there, I'm TV's Brian Busby. And when I'm not stalking Mick Schaefer, I'm watching The Royal Man Report on the interwebs.
You're up there at Fantasy Camp, and you've got Dave Darby there, obviously. And from what I understand, you drafted him onto your team. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. He's a big fella with some thunder in his stick. And George Brett gave a rave scouting report he raved about his athleticism and his ability to catch the ball, and he had tremendous power after the inter-squad game the first day. So if George Brett gave a stamp of approval like that, I didn't hesitate.
And right, so yeah, I would think that's a pretty good endorsement if you've got George Brett giving you the thumbs up. And he was taking some reps at third, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, George said he was picking it, making every play, looked great. So I went completely off of George's recommendation. I didn't even see him the whole day.
What kind of things are you looking for when you're kind of picking out players for that purpose down there? Because they're all kinds of age ranges, right?
Yeah, they're all different ages. You just look for, you know, just like you would any other scout. You know, you look for some athleticism, and, you know, it helps if you see that they look like they played at a higher level, and, you know, decent mechanics and decent footwork, and, you know, that's what we will look for.
It's good to hear that Dave's proving us proud, as some of the guys who are following his updates on Twitter. He seems to be having a great time. What's the first message you give them at fantasy camp when they're down there, when you're going through meeting with your team and before games?
First thing I tell them, I say, this is your fantasy, and you want to have the time of your life while you're down here. And so because you may not be in the best of shape, you don't want to go too hard too early. You want to go easy on ground balls and fly balls and just stride things out and not push it too hard, so that way you're still playing on Friday, because if you blow out, it ruins the whole fantasy. So that's the biggest thing that I put in perspective.
Do you run into any players who are down there who are maybe a little reluctant to get in there, or maybe their skills aren't quite to the same level as others, and so they're maybe hesitant to jump right into it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we just encourage them, you know, try and get them to relax and enjoy themselves, get after it, compete, have a good time, and, you know, it's all fun, and try and help guys to relax so they can do well.
When you're seeing them in the cage, what's the number one tip that you find that you're giving to some of these guys who don't play ball in their day-to-day? What's the best advice that you give them from start to finish in camp?
Usually it's don't try and hit it too hard. Don't try and do too much. You know, just try and get a base hit through the middle. And, you know, when guys start trying to do too much, they get big and then they get long and they end up fouling balls off that they should crush or popping them up, rolling over. But that's probably the number one thing.
Okay. If you were to rate Dave Darby on the scouting 20 to 80 scale as a batter, what would you give him?
Oh, I got to give him about a 60. He's pretty good. Good hand speed, good pop. Just kind of needs to work on his speed and agility and strength and conditioning, maybe drop a few pounds, and he'd be right there challenging the boys in Kansas City.
Before I let you go, I want to get just one comment on what's coming up in 2012. Which of the team's young hitters do you think is going to make the biggest strides this year?
Well, it's hard to say. I'm hoping, you know, Moustakas continues the surge that he had at the end of the season and ends up being a real impact bat in the middle of the order. I'm not worried about Hosmer. I'm not worried about Salvador Perez. I think they're going to be solid and consistent, but I hope Moose can really step up and continue the surge that he had at the end and hit for some power and drive some runs in for us.
Echo Network.
The future of internet entertainment is here.
Echo Network.
Blogs covering sports, entertainment, and popular culture.
Echo Network.
Podcasts featuring names from the world of sports and media like Willie Akins, Chris Ketz, Aaron Crow, Danny Duffy, and Nick Wright.
Echo Network.
And coming this summer, live sporting events.
Echo Network.
The future of internet entertainment is here.
Echo Network.
Echo Network. EKOHnetwork.com.
The games are over at this point, right?
They are. Everything's done with. All that's left is get on the buses, head back to the airport.
So looking back at it, what's the best memory you're going to take? Is there one, any moment, or is there like one little scene that you can remember that was the one thing that you'll probably take back and remember most often?
I mean, it was kind of surreal. I guess I went into it with the whole thought of how cool would it be to walk down the street in Kansas City and George Brett's coming the other way and he actually know who I am and know my name. It went so much beyond that. I mean, Monday, the first day that we're here, I got George Brett talking to me, telling me about how good I am. The first day we do a bunch of drills, and I'm at third base taking ground balls, and Brett's standing at third base kind of coaching. We're doing simulated games. And Brett's sitting there praising me about my play, and then we just talked about barbecue. We talked about Las Vegas, and after you're done, you're like, that just happened. And then Monday night we had a dinner at the hotel, and Brett comes up to me and is talking about, yeah, I really wanted to draft you, but my team was pretty much already full going into the draft. But I talked to Seitzer, man. I told him he's got to get you. And I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, I mean, you could be the best third baseman here. I'm like, put that in writing because nobody's going to remember know that when I when I get back. And so that was kind of odd. And that same night, sitting there with Frank White and talking for over an hour, I sat right next to him, talked to him for over an hour, and really got to know what he's about and got the inside scoop on a lot of things and talked about a lot of non-baseball stuff. And it was another one of those moments that you're like, wow, that was just unbelievable. And you understand so much more about what Frank White's about, both the good and the bad. So it was really cool. Kangaroo Court is funny as heck. They tape that, and I'll have a CD coming at some point in time. I can't wait to rewatch that. That's funny. But I guess at one point, I guess my favorite point is also one of the funniest things of the whole week. We were out to dinner. I was with Seitzer and his wife, Beth, and a few of the players, and we went to Arrowhead Grill. And by the way, if you're coming down to spring training and you like a really, really good steak, Arrowhead Grill. It's not that far from the stadium. It's just fantastic. But we're sitting there, and we sat there and ate and talked for like 2 hours. And talked that around to what Seitzer does on his day off. And we asked Beth, and she's like, oh, he looks at baseball and watch baseball, and he analyzes swings and stuff. And we asked, well, what do you do? And Seitzer started going off, and she does the same thing. She listens to it. She takes it in. He said he shows her a video of players, and she can dissect their swing and come up with the exact same thing that he was thinking and come up with the exact same thing he was thinking as how to fix it. And so I just kind of looked at him and I said, so from a Royals organization perspective, why shouldn't we hire Beth and save some money instead of paying all the money for you? And everybody started laughing. And I'm sitting right across the table from him. He grabs his dinner napkin and just flings it at me and misses wide right and hits the lady in the table behind us right in the back of the head. It was hilarious. We were rolling. We apologized to the lady, but that was one of the funniest things. Because at that point, it's no longer really like camper and famous alumni guy. It's like friends. And so you develop these relationships with these guys. And I very much look forward to going to games and talking to them before games and communicating with these guys. I just got an email about 10 minutes ago from Mike Sweeney, who had to leave camp a little bit early. And that's just, I mean, amazes me. That guy, you talk to him, I wasn't even on his team. You talk to Mike Sweeney for 30 seconds, and it's like you've known the dude forever. And that's how he treats you. He's just a special, special dude.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy when you start seeing emails from people that you've only seen on TV or on cars or what have you. And
really, the whole week, you kind of introduce yourself at the beginning, but they see your name on the back of the jersey. And then the whole rest of the week, it's them approaching you. And last night after the banquet, it's Brett Darbs, comes up, Darbs, how you doing? Good to see you at camp. I can't wait to see you again. It's just those type of things where they're interacting and talking to you, and it's just a unique, odd experience, but it is so, so cool.
We talked to Seitzer, obviously, the other day, and he had a really great scouting report on you. Was he the one alumni that you got the closest with during your time, or was there anybody else?
Seitzer more than anybody. John Warden was pretty cool. And I joked about him. We had a team dinner Wednesday night, and I said this kind of same thing when I was talking in front of the whole team. I said, yeah, I thought it'd be really cool when I found out about the team. And I was like, Seitzer would know who I am, Willie Wilson would know who I am, and then I would know who John Warden was, kind of as a joke, because nobody knew who John Warden was. He actually has a World Series ring with the Detroit Tigers. He's a good relief pitcher in 68, but that guy is just hilarious. But I was really good friends with him. I really enjoyed talking to him, and I tried to take the bands with Warden anytime I could, because you just got all kinds of good information out of him. And but definitely Seitzer was the one guy I keyed on. He was one of my three coaches, along with Warden and Willie Wilson on our team. But the guy is just genuine. I debated with him about Unieski and about Getz, and I was point blank with what I didn't like about him and what my concerns were. And he is completely genuine with everything he says, and he up front with the good and the bad about the different people on the team. And so I completely believe everything he said. There's no snow jobs with him. It was just amazing to talk with him. And the insight that I have on what he does during a game and the preparation day to day, it's just mind-blowing. You would never know what that does. And you see him with his little book in the dugout, if you look in there, in the chart and everything like that. Learning what's all in that chart was just amazing, how detailed it is. It was just some great inside information. But that dude and his wife, Beth, are just down-to-earth people. I love them both, and I can't wait to see them again in Kansas City.
I get the impression you come away with this that they're not just these mystical ball players. They're people. Sometimes that's easy to forget. But, yeah, these are guys, they're doing their job, and they have, you know, other interests. They have other things going on, and things like that. Was there anybody that you came across that you had an impression in your mind how they would be, and they were completely the opposite of it? Or was there anybody who maybe changed your opinion of them while you were down there?
Well, you know, I haven't had a whole lot of interaction with most of them. I've been around Willie Wilson. I've been around Willie Akins before, and so I kind of had an idea about them. But the rest, and Mayberry, of course, and Dennis Leonard, I guess, was the one time. So I kind of knew what they were about. The rest of them, Brian McCray, Montgomery, Dye, Randa, Sweeney, Brett, Lakota, Wathen, Pryor, Bluma, those guys I hadn't been around. And, you know, they're just like everybody else. There's some that you like, some that you don't necessarily like as much. They all have different personalities. They all probably have a different feeling of what this camp means for them. Some of these guys, this is like their favorite week of the whole year, coming down for this camp and interacting with the fans and doing that. And there's some there that I'm sure they don't really care for it all that much. And so you get different interactions from them. But in general, for the most part, they're all really great. I guess if I had to pick one out, I would say I was a little surprised at how much Brett got into it. Brett, yeah, he was a jokester the whole time. During one of the alumni games, he snuck back, took over the umpire gear, and came out as a disguised umpire. And he umpired the whole game. It was three innings. But he umpired the whole game. And they were playing the undefeated Campers team. The Campers were up in the last inning. The alumni were trying to they were down two runs going to the last inning. He called a balk on the pitcher right away and got a runner to second. And then the Campers, or the alumni, scored one, so now they're only down one, and there were two outs and a runner on, and they caught a fly ball to end the game, and the Campers were jumping up and down and getting all excited, and Brett comes back from behind the plate just waving his arms, no, 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 I got catcher's interference, which, of course, there's no catcher's interference, but he calls catcher's interference. They're like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. And so they all got back on the field, and they had to keep going. He was trying to get the alumni to win that game, but the next guy grounded out anyhow, and they lost their first game and only game of the week. But it was hilarious. I'll always remember watching that game and him calling it a catcher's interference to try to keep the alumni in it. Totally bogus and cheating, but it was hilarious.
He just wants to win. That's all it's about. You put your stats up on Twitter, and correct me if I'm wrong when I quote these, but you were 9 for 15. Is that right?
It was something like that. Yeah, I went 9 for 15, 7 ribbies and a couple doubles. One of the doubles was a triple, but I was too old and fat, and I stopped at second when I shouldn't have. And then I should have had another triple. Yeah, the other double should have been a triple. I was it was day one when I actually still had some energy, and I hit one down into the right field corner. And so I'm running to first, running to second, chugging around second, heading to third, and I can't see the play because it's happening behind me. And Willie Wilson's coaching third. He puts his arms up in the air like, slow down and come in standing, which I do, and then I get tagged out by half a step. I'm like, Willie, what are you doing? You put your hands up for me to stand up. And he's like, that means slide. I'm like, no, it doesn't. And then Brett comes running out of the – we were playing his team. He comes running out of the other dugout and just starts giving Willie all kinds of crap about it. Both those doubles should have been triples, but Wilson got called out in kangaroo court for that. He lost $2 of his money for putting his hands up instead of down for a slide.
Hey, it cost you an out, so you gotta pay up for that.
Yeah, oh yeah, you gotta pay up. I had to pay up on day two of kangaroo court because I accidentally left my phone in the van, and the warden found it. And so Seitzer actually called my phone in the middle of kangaroo court, and warden answered it and did like a 5-minute comedy skit on me. And so Wilson, I was all 3 days of kangaroo court. I had to stand up. Wilson, because on that one Wilson's, they said, all right, Willie Wilson, stand up. Dave Darby, stand up. And he said, you guys look at both these guys. One of these guys is fast, which, of course, was a bust on me.
Right.
And then the second day, I got the phone. And then the third day, I got this picture of my coaches and me, and Willie Wilson signs on him, and John Warden signs on him. Kevin Seitzer signs his autograph on top of my picture instead of his by accident and didn't even realize it. So he got called out yesterday in kangaroo court, lost $2 for signing on the wrong guy. And, of course, Warden, who's the dishonorable judge, takes it as a chance to make fun of me. He goes, I know why you signed on Darby, because there was more space there because his picture's bigger. We all could have signed on top of him. So they make, even though I wasn't at fault, I still got made fun of, which is all part of the camp.
Right. You got to bust on them. I think it's one of those positions where if you're not getting picked on a little bit, you should probably worry a little bit more.
Yeah, it's an honor. It's an honor to be called up in kangaroo court, and I made it all 3 days.
So you guys got to play the alumni, too, and you said you were pitching for at least an inning. Is that right?
Yeah, I pitched against alumni for an inning, and I had one at bat in that game.
Who did you face when you were pitching?
Dennis Leonard, I think I took the first pitch that he went. I rolled over on a fastball, grounded out to second base for a double play. But so Dennis pitched it to me. I grounded the ball to Frank White, who pitched it to George Brett, who was playing third base or playing shortstop, who threw it to John Mayberry at first. So I went White to Brett to Mayberry, which is kind of cool to say. So on my tweet, I was like, bad news, I grounded it a double play. Good news, it was White to Brett to Mayberry.
So did you guys beat the alumni?
Oh, no. There was one really good team here, and they ended up beating them, but everybody else lost. I think we scored the second most runs on them, though. We actually had a lead going into the bottom of the third when I came in to pitch. And our first two guys were throwing fairly slow, and they had trouble with that. But apparently my pitching speed is right at their hitting speed. John Watson first went up, and he laced a double. I'm told that he was actually out at second, but they called him safe. I don't know. He looked kind of safe from where I was. But the second baseman said his glove was between him and the foot. And we had one drop ball in right field. But pretty much everything they hit off me was pretty hard. So they got me, and right after the game, Seitzer comes laughing at me. He said, man, you sure sucked up that loss, which is the first time I've heard that term. And so we take our pictures and everything after the game. And the second game starting, I go sit on the alumni bench for half an inning before I walk down left field, but go back into the clubhouse. And Brett looks at me and said, man, you sure sucked up that loss. You guys are talking the same language. Thanks, guys. So Seitzer and Brett both are giving me crap for taking a loss against alumni.
I mean, I guess if you're going to take a loss, you can kind of write that one off.
No. They weren't keeping stats for that game, and I pitched 3 innings the day before, so my arm wasn't all that, but I don't think it mattered. They would have beat me like a drum no matter what.
So all in all, it sounds like it's definitely worth the experience. I don't think there's any question in that. Would it be something that you would do again if they offered another camp?
The thing is, my hope was that I'd come down and have a good time, but not a great time. Because if I had a great time, then I'm going to want to come back, and it's quite a bit of money. So I wanted to have a good time, not a great time. But unfortunately, I did have a great time, and it's really not about the baseball so much, although that was fun. But it's about the relationships you build with some of the campers and with the alumni that makes it really special. The big moments of the week don't happen on the baseball field. Which makes the camp really, really great and really unique. They talked about that this wasn't going to happen next year, and they may not do it for a little while. And then I heard maybe every other year. But talking to the alumni, they're like, yeah, they said that last year too. And it would be really bad for them to skip a year. You just lose momentum. You have so many people that come back for this thing. I guess I'm hopeful that they do it next year. And I'll have to talk to my wife this weekend in Vegas and see what she says, but I would certainly be leaning to coming back, and I would certainly encourage anybody who's thought about it to make it happen. I mean, it's a bucket list thing for me, but fortunate for me, it's not something that ends this week. I still have amazing pictures and CDs, and like I said, I got some emails with some of these guys are talking about. I'll see Seitzer at the ballpark, and then in June there's a reunion. Where they'll dress us up we'll put on our uniforms and go out on the field before a game. I think it's against the A's. Chance to see some of the guys again. Some of the alumni will come back for that, and some of the campers will be there. So that'll be a good time. But yeah, it's something I'm definitely considering coming back. I really like to. Some of the guys here at camp have been here for the last 8 years. They said about 35% keep coming back every year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I was completely jealous. Every time you gave an update, I kind of shook my fist.
Yeah, hate Twitter tweets. And we can all agree.
Yeah.
We hate Dave Darby.
You might as well just stay down there, I guess. Cause we're going to be angry.
Not welcome back in Kansas City.
No, I think it's really cool that you were able to go down there and had such a good time, and that the players were so receptive to having people there, because I could easily see, some being a little put off by it or maybe not interested, but it seems like the majority of them were really into it and really wanted to make it a good experience for everybody. So maybe you'll win some money in Vegas and can put it towards next year or whenever the next time is.
For sure. My first $5,000 that I win in a slot is going straight to savings so I can pay for that.
Yeah.
I also want to thank everybody on Twitter. I put a lot of pictures and stuff out there, and there were a lot of people that were really nice and sending back messages to me all week long. And a lot of people sent some questions to me. I tried to get as many of those answers as I could. And I apologize I didn't get to all of them. It's just so much was going on. And felt the love from the Royals Twitter family in Kansas City and beyond for sure. Got a lot of new people following me, and try to keep that information coming on the Royals. But it was a blast, but I want to thank everybody from the Royals Twitter family for a good week of messages coming from up north.
And one last thing before I let you go. I don't know if it's official yet, but Rex Hudler looks to be the favorite to be the TV guy, and I want everybody who's listening to this know that first person I heard it from was Dave Darby. So I want to give credit to that.
Yeah, I was on a van ride back to the hotel, and just like 3 minutes earlier, he'd been told that Rex got the job, and he hadn't interviewed for it, but I know George Brett was really hoping he would get an interview for it and pulled for him, and I think he'd do a great job. So he'd just been told right then who'd gotten the job, and I asked him, I said, so has that been made public? And he said, yes. So I came back to the hotel and put that on Twitter, and looked around. I'm like, I don't see this from anywhere else. And that's kind of when I contacted you. I'm like, hey, does anybody else know this? Because I was told it was made public, but maybe I'm hearing it before all that goes down. And there was, a 10-hour delay, and the next day they're saying it's down to 2 and basically pretty much 1. So I guess that's how it happens.
Everybody I talk to is pretty much kind of the same story that it was down to two. You know, Hubler was the favorite. So, you know, I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, the day before, Brett and Sweeney were in the van when I was headed to the ballpark in the morning, and they both were talking about Rex, and Sweeney said he's a great guy, and Brett said, yeah, he's just so energetic. He's like, I just can't wait for the broadcast tonight, and so they were both very high on him. So I don't know anything about him really other than what I've read on your article that you put there, but I'm excited to see him. It'll be different, I'm sure, different personality than what we're used to. From everything I've heard, it sounds like a good choice.
Dave Darby, thanks for taking the time to share your experience and share your story from Fantasy Camp with us.
Well, it was my pleasure talking to you guys, and again, very fun week, and again, thank you to everybody up there for all the kind words this week.
Come to Spit Cup this week. We'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot pungus night. Friday night is Jamboree night. Bring your crap kick in your 10-gallon hat. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup.
No love letters, talking to the wall.
Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends, the best pizza in Kansas City, and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Hi there. I'm TV's Mick Schaefer. And when I'm not dressing professional on the TV, I dress like this, a douchebag. I also watch The Royal Man Report on Time Warner Cable's Roadrunners Internets.
And that was The Royal Man Report for this week, the 5th of February, and we appreciate you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the interviews we had there with Rainey and Dave Darby. Thank you for all his work you did down there. Goodness, Kevin Seitzer.
Kevin Seitzer was great. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, very much so. Thanks to Kevin Seitzer for doing that because it was time out of his day. So thanks again to those guys. And Chris, you got any closing thoughts here?
Well, just looking at stuff upcoming, you kind of ran it down in the first segment, but we've got Greg Doyle from CBS. And if you guys aren't familiar with his work, best way I can kind of explain it is he's kind of like Bob Fesco, except he's talented. So there's that. And also, Royals fans, if you guys listen to Rambling Morons this next weekend, we're going to have Mike McCartney, who is the voice of Kauffman Stadium. So we'll be doing quite a bit of Royals talk on the Morons as well. And stay tuned to the Echo Network. It's going to be a fun couple of months. We're going to have a lot of really great guests, and we appreciate you guys tuning in today.
Well, and you know, you were talking about upcoming stuff on the Rambling Morons. It looks like that our newfound competition, Nick Wright, is still running from the Royal Man Report. Won't come on the air with us, but he's going to come on our sister show, Rambling Morons, later this month, I heard through the grapevine.
Yeah, we are still in negotiations. You know, you can't just book a talent like Nick Wright and just assume that he's just going to show up for nothing. So we're still in negotiations. We're trying to work out some sort of dowry, if you will, to get him on the show. And I'm going to have to upgrade my camera equipment to allow the length of his nose to fit in the shot. So stay tuned for that. That'll be in a couple of weeks. We're going to have a lot of fun in February on the Royal Man Report and the Rambling Morons, and who knows what other kind of trouble we can find ourselves in.
Well, we always find plenty. So let us know out of this week's show. Give us a shout-out on Twitter at Royal Man Report, or you can shoot us an email at royalmanreport@gmail.com. And until next week, I am Casey Royal Man.
I'm Michael Engel.
And I'm Fake Ned Yost.
And somewhere Jeffer is probably drunk and watching the Super Bowl as well, and shout out to him. So until next week, everybody, we are the Royal Man Report, and go Royals.